Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God is amazing. What more can you say? How can we even begin to describe how awesome of a God we have? Our God holds all things within his mighty hand. He is the one who has created all things. The sun, the moon, and the stars all exist simply because he commanded them to. And what an incomprehensible blessing we have in knowing that he uses that mighty power to save us. Us, who the traditional confession of sin so clearly calls, I, a poor, miserable sinner. In our reading from Genesis today, we hear the tail end of the story of God saving Noah and his family from the flood. Then in the gospel, Jesus walks on water and saves his disciples from gale-force winds that are blowing their boat around just as a toy in a bathtub. From Paul, we heard him tell the Ephesians that the Spirit dwells within them, the very power of their faith, through which we receive redemption from our sins. And yet, so often we doubt. We hear all these great things that God has done, and still we put limits on God or try to make him fit within that box of what we can comprehend. In our self-centeredness, we're sometimes surprised when God comes through in a pinch. Just look at the disciples. They're riding in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. With many of them being professional fishermen, this is something that's nothing new to them. They've done it many times before. They spend every day in a boat and are experts at handling the sails. They've seen everything by now: rough waters, calm waters, storms, capsizing, men overboard. But yet they're still afraid. This surely is no storm if even they are afraid. But the fear isn't really from these external circumstances. It's not purely from seeing this strong storm. The fear comes from deep down inside, where there's doubt. Doubt that God will get them through this night. Doubt that he can deliver them from the storm. That's the very same doubt that we so often see in ourselves. We're afraid because we're unable to fully trust in God. In our sinful human condition, we just can't do it. We're unable to put aside the fear and live the fullness of life to which we've been called. In our doubt and lack of faith, we put limits on God and on what he can do. So many in the world today, and even within the church, try to rationalize away God's power and splendor. They see miracles in the Bible and look for scientific explanations. When Jesus walks on water, they want to see it as an optical illusion or see it somehow as figurative. Well, I've got news for them. As the one who created all things, who created the physical world, all the laws of nature, God's not bound by them. If he wants to walk on water for whatever reason, whether it's just to cross the Sea of Galilee because it's faster than walking around it, he can do that. And who are we to doubt or think that he's not able to do such great things? Have you ever heard that saying, to have faith like a child? Such a common saying. It always amazes me at how much faith a child truly can have. Sometimes it can be easy to confuse faith with just being naive. But they're really two very different things. Children are often naive in the fact that they just don't know any better. They don't have the knowledge yet. But they are also great examples of having a capacity for faith, which is putting trust into someone or something even though you aren't able to be absolutely certain. When children are afraid or seeking reassurance, they know they can put their trust in their parents. When they have a question or are seeking an answer, they trust in what their parents or other adults tell them. Now, this isn't just blind faith or naivete. It's based on what they've experienced in the past. It's based on when their parents have come through before. They know there are certain people whom they can trust, and in fact need to trust, based on what they have done for them in the past. Now, I do have to admit, there are times when I take advantage of that trust just a bit with my children, so I can have some fun with them. Much to the annoyance of my wife, I have a little game that I like to play with the kids. I'm sure most of you before have heard of that old quarter in the ear trick. Well, in my house, it's not just a quarter in the ear. It's every imaginable lost object they've ever had. So when one of them comes to me before bed and says, "Daddy, I need my blankie. I can't find it." All of a sudden, one, two, three, here it is. It was in your ear all along. Or, "Daddy, I need my stuffed animal lamb." After a few minutes of looking around everywhere, all of a sudden, voila, here's your stuffed animal lamb. It was in your ear all along. Unfortunately, only Daddy can do such tricks, and Mama needs to deal with all the whining when Daddy isn't around to look for these lost items. But in the end, it really does come down to trust. The kids don't need to understand how or why. They just trust based on what they've seen in the past. A baby knows to trust that their parents won't drop them. A toddler knows to trust that when they wake up in their morning, their parents will be there to take care of them. But as we grow older, we grow jaded. We stop trusting. We demand the proof, even from God. He may have come through for us 100 times in the past, but this time, he just might let us fall. Noah, on the other hand, from everything that we read about him in Scripture, somehow was able to have this seemingly unhuman capacity for faith. As the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I mean that literally, that everybody was going to hell, Noah's the exception in placing his trust in God. God tells him to build an ark for which he's ridiculed mercilessly by everyone around him. And yet Noah just keeps on building and follows that odd request from God. Now that, my brothers and sisters, is faith. Even as everyone around him is going in a different direction, he puts his trust in God and in the direction that he's being led. When he doubts his direction, which I'm sure he did at times, since he's human just like us, he has the strength to persist based on his firm faith in God. He doesn't doubt that God can do great things. He doesn't doubt that God can do these great things through him. He thinks big. He remembers the absolute power of God. At the end of Noah's ordeal on the ark, we hear in today's reading that God established the rainbow as a sign of a covenant with Noah and his descendants. The rainbow, in today's culture, though, has been misappropriated, shall we say. As you may remember, just a few weeks ago, when the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage throughout our country, the White House was lit up in all these different rainbow colors. Or if you happened to be on Facebook around that time, you also noticed that people had taken their profile pictures and superimposed rainbows on top of them to show their joy at the decision. Well, that's not really how God, the creator of the rainbow, intended for the symbol to be used. But this prominent use of the rainbow can still be a reminder for us. The rainbow was a show of God's love for all people and his promise of their redemption. So we can see it now as a reminder to each of us to reach out in love and truth, both to those in the church and to those outside the church, to bring them the gospel of God's unfailing love and redemption for those who are stuck in sin or who have been led astray. When we think too small, we put limits on God. We start to think that this ark we live in, the church of God, is only for certain people. We think it's only for those who are good and righteous, or those who subscribe to our particular brand of theology. But it's not. It's for all people, no matter how sinful or unworthy we might be. The healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. Just as Noah built the ark for animals of all kinds, so too was the church of God created for people of all kinds. Lutherans, Baptists, whites, blacks, Asians, liars, cheaters, murderers. We take all kinds. And thank God that we do. If God had limited his redemption to just the Israelites, probably almost none of us would be here today. Or if God had required that only the righteous could be a part of his church, I guarantee you that none of us would be a part of it. We are righteous only because of the fact that we've been grafted into God's grace and mercy through the faith that he alone could create in us. We're now engaged in a great building project. But rather than constructing a physical church, we're partners in building the church of God. It is through us, those poor, miserable sinners, that God builds his church. We know we're to reach out to all people, to the very ends of the earth. In the weakness and in the doubt that we feel each day, we may feel inadequate for this task. But God doesn't leave us alone in this great task. No, we're not meant to try and take on this monumental task on our own. We've received the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, who strengthens us, who gives us confidence in knowing that our God can do all things, even work through us, so that all may hear and be saved. Paul tells the Ephesians that with the Spirit comes power, power to be strengthened in the faith, so that we may be rooted and grounded in love as we reach out. And we hear that with the Spirit, we receive the strength to comprehend the love of God. We'll never fully comprehend the extent of God's love, but it's in faith that we can begin to understand the love that God has for all people, so that we might begin to express that love. So thanks be to God that through the scriptures that have been passed down to us, we know that he uses his awesome power to save us and to grant us the faith to overcome our doubts. Our God is mighty to save. Amen. Continue now with our announcements.